Welcome to Bleeding Edge Season 2. I'm Bethann Stubbe, ILTA's Director of Publications and Press. And in this ILTA podcast series, we chat with various subject matter experts about the latest trends and news in the legal technology community. Okay, let's meet who we're chatting with today. My co-host is none other than Cindy McBean. She is the PPC liaison for ILTA, and she's also a litigation support manager at Hanlian. She is a fantastic leader, and I'm excited to have her join me on this season. We're hoping to do 9 to 10 episodes, and our first one is a real, real awesome one. We're kicking off today with Joey Sieber. He is the CEO of Level Legal. Joey, Cindy, welcome today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to get us started off. Again, how do we really see the landscape shifting between ALSPs and the big four as it relates to traditional law firms?
I think that as we look forward, law firms really should be looking to partner with the workhorses in the legal industry, the ALSPs, who understand data, legal technology holistically, and can provide those services efficiently and knowledgeably. The big four has made no secret of their ambitions, and I think it would behoove big law and ALSPs to understand that they should be working together. Otherwise, the big four is going to take it all. I mean, not literally, no secret of their ambition to take market share. So I think we have to all understand that to succeed in 2021 and beyond, the role of the law firm or big law, small law, medium law, is not just advising clients, but also about navigating risks, but also embracing technology and using those who understand technology and data and can be the workhorses in this space.
So when we talk about 2021, is it really going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back for change? Because having been in law firms for quite some time, I do know that there's been so much disruption this year that it has forced some things to change. But is 2021 really going to be that straw?
Yeah, that's a great question. And who knows, right? Who knows? But we are here making predictions. And so, you know, just last night, I was reading a book by Scott Galloway. You may have seen him in media lately. But the book is Post-Corona is the name of the book. And I listened to Scott Galloway and Kara Fisher do a Kara Swisher do a podcast Pivot. And they've been talking about, you know, the changes in 2020 and the acceleration of change. The point in Scott's book is that in 2020, we saw about a 10-year acceleration in about 8 weeks. And he uses a lot of different metrics to support that. You know, if we think about our lives in 2020, we saw everything that we do changed. Everything. We saw acceleration. You know, we're ordering more online. We're visiting our doctors on Zoom. We're visiting our clients on Zoom. We have hearings on Zoom. It doesn't matter if it's personal, professional. Everything changed in 2020. And so I don't see, we're not going to reset the clock. We're not going to just go back even once we have the vaccine and people are moving around. It's not just going to flip back. So there are a number of changes that happened that are going to continue in 2021 and beyond. And I don't think we're going to go back. So will 2021 be the straw that broke the camel's back? I think maybe 2020 was. And the question is how much of this sustains? Business travel, for instance, I heard this morning on CNBC that even the airlines are predicting that it will be 3 years before business travel gets back to the level that it was pre-COVID. I'd be surprised if it happens even then. So to answer the question, I think that many of the changes that we've seen in 2020 are going to continue in 2021 and beyond. Client expectations, law firm expectations, the expectations of all those on every side of the table in the legal industry, I think have changed. It will be interesting to see how much of those endure at what level.
It certainly will. And also, you know, I'm based in the Midwest where we are very change averse. And so,
yeah. Well, I'm in the South, so I'll see you in Raging.
You know, especially for me, it's been in litigation support. You know, up until mid-year, I didn't have, you know, we weren't really thinking about going, you know, taking lit support to the cloud. And now, you know, it's kind of, you know, we have to take lit support to the cloud because really that's, you know, that's really what we have to do. So for me, you know, 2020 certainly was a catalyst. 2021, I think if we can get some normalcy, we might be able to kind of see the results of that. But I think you're right. I think it's going to be, you know, the 3 to 5 year plan really is going to see the realization of people kind of getting comfortable with the results of all the change, because they're going to have to settle in.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's well said.
Something new that's coming along the pike and seems to be kind of a separate trajectory, and it, that's all well and good, is privacy regulations. And, you know, unlike other parts of the world, you know, the U.S. has just this hodgepodge approach. What impact will the enforcement of existing and new privacy regulations really have on the work of ALSPs, but also, you know, I know it's just more and more impactful to law firms and their clients with the importance of privacy and security.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, look, in the U.S., the lack of standardization and clarity in the evolving privacy standards in each state, I think it's going to lead to proposed legislation for comprehensive federal privacy law. You know, we heard talk of it in the industry over the last few years, and the general consensus was that that's not something that would happen in the last 2 years of an administration pre-election. Regardless of your politics, there's going to be a new administration. And while there is a lot on the plate, I will not be surprised at all if there's proposed legislation that's comprehensive in terms of privacy, because as more and more states adopt new regulations, it becomes even more difficult for corporations to navigate through it. So we'll all see. I think that this is going to be another way that we seek to establish some order from the chaos that was 2020. So I won't be surprised at all. And now, whether or not it will succeed, who knows? But I think you'll see a move afoot to standardize that on a federal level.
Do you see the standardization as like a baseline approach where states can have more strict requirements, which is effectively having no standards in case, you know, states can enact their own? Or do you see something really being comprehensive?
Yeah, boy, you're good. I think that is the question, right? And I think that's where you're going to see the big debate, because of course we have states that are more aggressive, California being the kind of poster child for that. And so I think the Fed who knows, right? But my own instinct is that it probably will be comprehensive, at least the move will be for it to be comprehensive. But I think you've identified the real rub there. And that is, is it a baseline that we can add to, or is this going to be, preempt state legislation?
Yeah, because it really is a risk mitigation nightmare because of the way the regulations are written. For example, you know, the whole California law where if you touch California, you then are responsible. Well, if I got to touch California and I touch 8 other states, I might as well do everything to the level of California, which is effectively nationwide comprehensive. It's just the cost and timing of that. It's going to be very interesting. I mean, it really is going to be fun to watch, you know, from the sideline. And then, you know, kind of switching away from privacy for just a moment, I've been working in law firms for more years than I'm really going to admit to in a recording. But, you know, every year we hear, you know, I've been hearing this forever, that every year we kind of say the billable hour is dead. But every year, nothing really changes. Are we really going to build upon 2020 and kind of go more into the alternative fee world where that's going to be the norm instead of the exception?
Yeah, I mean, look, I wouldn't sit here and say, yes, this is the year the billable hour is dead, because it's, you know, people have been predicting that for 20 years or more and it doesn't happen. What I do see happening as a result of the disruption that was 2020 and everything that's happening in the legal industry, legal services industry, is that the legal services business model will move from billing by time to productizing, if you will, the law, and billing by deliverables. You know, that's different even from traditional alternative models. Much, if not most, of what legal services offers can be productized, standardized, you know, packaged, or sold at a unit price, or in the manufacturing or retail world, it's called a SKU. You know, I've seen estimates as high as 80% of what lawyers do could be productized. And by that, I don't mean demeaned, but I mean offered at a unit price. Here is what you get for this. And I think there is going to be a move in that direction, particularly as consumers of legal services look to try to compare apples to apples. Well, what do I get for what I'm paying? And there is a move for standardization of billing codes, for instance. So I do think that we're going to see that.
I have some questions for both of you that I think are going to take us on a little bit of a different trajectory than we've been talking before, because there has been so much interruption this year and we've had to pivot and make all of these changes that we didn't see coming down a pipeline. I'd like to ask you both, what do you think we will need to manage in 2021 to deal with the aftermath of 2020? And Joey, to your point earlier, maybe not coming out of this until 3, 5, or some other amount of years later.
I think that you're going to see an increase in internal investigation, corporate audits, fraud. Many of this is going to skyrocket as a result of COVID. And I think we will see a rapid rise in, you know, or increase in demand for privacy, compliance, anti-corruption services. You know, if you just think about what happened in 2020, we had massive global disruption of economies, had massive amounts of money injected in various ways, some literally sent in checks to people, some to businesses, the PPP. And we, you know, we very quickly saw headlines about people misusing funds, fraud. So anytime there's a massive disruption, if we just think kind of on a macro level, a massive disruption and everything that happened, and then money that's floating around, we're going to see increases. And then, not to mention, the different ways that we're all interacting with each other, which we've talked about here, right? So each of us right now are probably speaking from our homes, okay? Well, everybody's doing all of their work from homes. What does that mean for privacy? What does that mean for compliance? All of those things have happened in the last year, and there are going to be resulting investigations and audits and that are coming out of that. So I think agile privacy and data-related workflows are going to be required to handle the more frequent requests or investigations, you know, sometimes maybe weekly or monthly. We've talked about the privacy standards in the various states. Those are all impacted as well. And so, you know, we didn't, all of that, not even to mention a new administration that may have different priorities with regard to their enforcement in the various agencies. So all that to say, I think we in the industry are going to be very busy.
Cindy, from a litigation side, are there market changes that you see coming down the pipeline because of COVID, or because things just very badly needed to change and this gave us the catalyst to do so?
Yes and no. I think that the biggest change for me, in speaking just in my wheelhouse, is lit support, really is that up until now, you know, lawyers that I work with have done a fairly good job of managing client expectations about, you know, the information we need and how we need it. And I can see that there's going to be a much stronger emphasis on hopefully information governance, so that, you know, all the companies that went virtual in a matter of hours stop to kind of think about and get organized about where their information is, because I'm going to have to collect it next year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is going to be hugely impactful. And I think it's really going to force the attorneys to manage expectations a little bit closer, because, you know, discovery management has always been kind of don't ask, don't tell, and had a really kind of bad reputation that, you know, once you open that door, you're stuck going in it. And I think 2020 just opened up a barn door of, you know, where information is, what we need, the risk of it all. I think it's going to be hugely impactful. And, you know, large corporations and, you know, the super large law firms, they have a handle on it just because it's a big machine. In my experiences in large corporate is that, you know, you're not nimble, but boy, you have good processes and you have resources to throw at something. Where we're going to see it is in my world at a medium sized firm with, you know, Midwest corporate clients, I think that it's just going to be hugely impactful of just trying to get to a place where people are comfortable having discussions about those topics where before we really haven't been.
I think that this brings us to the perfect ending question for both of you. Given the tough year we've had, and it has been difficult, and as you say, Joey, we're working from home, we're working in situations that we've never anticipated. Cindy, I haven't even seen you at an event or a volunteer opportunity for Elton this year. But given the tough year we've had, how do you see the mix of technology balanced with the need for humanity evolving in 2021? Because I think we're getting there right now.
Look, I'm going to be a little contrarian, maybe. And that is, we've talked about technology and we've talked about privacy and we've talked about our reliance on technology and new things and all that technology and innovation offers us. I think that with a greater reliance on technology, we're going to see a renewed appreciation for what it means to make legal human and what really matters in helping clients and why. So organizations whose cultures are solid, whose values are strong, I think will shine even brighter. I think we'll experience a continued aversion to the excesses of some of the examples that we see in legal providers. I think the human touch is going to be even more important.
Cindy, how do you think we'll fare for 2021?
I agree with what Joey said. And my own observation, and this is completely my own observation, is that law firms have really, in addition to the traditional concept of diversity, I think they've actually taken the label of diversity and kind of made it include humanity because they're not really known for being human. And I think that that's given them a lot of freedom to say, we want more, we want to be more diverse. And I think that that could be a good catalyst for changing culture and focusing on what people think is important going forward, as opposed to the traditional concepts, and give them kind of an, quote, acceptable out to have this change, is because they can now name it. And it's a popular name and everybody wants, it's a cool kid on the block. And so I think it really helps them do that, although it's very necessary. And I don't want to diminish, how necessary it is, but it does, getting an initiative popular is always, a great way to get it enacted and, really kind of make change happen.
Thank you both so much for joining us. Do you have any last words, as we've covered everything from privacy and security, CCPA, all the way down to the human aspect?
I think 2021 is going to be a really interesting year.
I'm not sure if I like how interesting is used there, but I'm kind of excited. Cindy, any last words before we wrap up episode number one of season two?
I agree. I think it's going to be impactful, and hopefully it'll be the year we can have some building blocks for the future.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you both so much for joining us. Thanks for tuning into this ILTA Bleeding Edge episode.
Check out more episodes and other ILTA podcasts on iltanet.org and all other podcast platforms.